Lord Jesus, I belong to you. I place myself anew in your hands and acknowledge you as master and Lord of my life. Amen.
L'chaim.
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 Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. That, of course, Molly Neffel and her brother, John Neffel.
Hello, guys. How are you guys doing?
Thank you for putting me first. I like that.
Ladies before gentlemen, I like to say.
That's what I've been saying.
Before we begin, let me say this. This show today is brought to you by Mushface Comics, Captain Mushface. Captain Mushface follows the sci-fi comedy hit that blends social commentary with slapstick craziness. If you like aliens, explosions, and titties, grab a beer and watch Captain Mushface wrestle a bear. Go to captainmushface.blogspot.com.
Can you tell that ad was made just for you to read it?
Sure.
He messes up his beer and bear, so the guy made sure to write those things in there.
People, yeah, I couldn't tell if it was beer or bear for the second one there.
And I wasn't interested until you said titties, and then I was like, okay, all right, I guess I'll check this out.
But yeah, you got it, because the second one, you wouldn't wrestle a Miller.
No.
And like Pete Miller, I guess, down the street. But you know what I'm saying. It is
confusing.
Well,
he's an asshole.
It is very confusing. Let me tell you this. I'm very excited.
Tonight's going to be a big one.
Tonight's going to be a big night.
Tonight's going to be a good night. Keith, anyone? Black Eyed Peas?
Here's what we have. That is a song. That's right, Mom. At keithandthegirl.com/store, of course, you are able to pre-order my autobiography. Well, now if you go there, you can just order it normally. No more scam. I have the books in my house. Kenda's holding one up to the camera right now.
I was leafing through one before the show. It looked very good.
It exists.
Thank you. Thank you. The Great American Novel. It's my autobiography. I spill it all. I spill all the beans.
What's the juiciest, just a preview of the juiciest story?
There is a reason that I know how Cindy Adams talks. That's all I can say for now.
I was so nervous because it was being delivered today. And I just waiting for something to go wrong. Like, somehow, they didn't understand that the cover needed to look like a cover.
Right.
And they were like, you know, not just blank spaces. I expected, you know, because the spine, we would set it at this much inches.
Right.
And so they would just be like, well, they wanted it this much inches, but they don't have that much paper. But that's how they wanted it, you know?
It's what is it? This is Spinal Tap. And the Spinal Tap boys say they want to show Stonehenge on stage. So he rates down, you know, I want it 20 feet. Well, he puts two marks. That, of course, is 20 inches. So the guys make a 20-inch thing of Stonehenge and put it on stage. He's like, well, why would I want it? It's like, well, that's what you wrote.
Right.
So that's what we did.
Yeah.
Like, you said your page one. Well, so we put your cover as the second page. Yeah. I want it to look like a book. But I was very happy with it. And you were showing the inside of the book, and it looks like there's words in it and everything. I didn't check the inside. Because we're doing this book entirely ourselves. So we buy a lot of books. Well, we have so many books in our house, it's too late now. So if there is nothing inside, I don't want to know. First of all, there's a cover. That's 1,000 words.
Yeah.
There's at least 1,000 words on the cover.
Mm-hmm. I guess the back cover, that's kind of a picture. 2,000 words easily. So I don't know. But Hemda showed the inside, and there are words. And yes, a lot of them look familiar to me. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, when we came in today, I saw just, I don't know, was there three dozen boxes of books down there?
Yeah, some of those are envelopes to put this stuff in. But we're going to have packing parties. Don't be jealous of our weekend.
Okay. Packing parties?
Yes, that's right.
What are you guys doing this weekend?
Yeah, you're invited. I'm busy.
Let's say I didn't add the word packing. I could see why people aren't responding to me.
I think packing is really the operative word there that people are rebelling against.
I'm having a party, and then they come in, and I go, you're here for the packing party!
Hey.
That's how I should be playing it.
You get an envelope. You get a book.
Yeah, like, think how fun that would be. Like, here's a book, here's an envelope.
Should be a packing, then pegging party.
What happens during the pegging? Who knows, but I'd go.
Pegging.
What's pegging? I never heard of that.
Pegging is when a girl fucks a guy with a dildo on.
Oh.
I can't believe I never heard of that. Don't blame me for looking at me like I'm not listening.
No, I was just... packing made me think of it. I'm sorry if that came out of nowhere, but packing made me think that something dirty was going to happen, and then I was thinking of pegging. It's apparently a lot of guys are into it.
How about this? I tell my friends, hey, do you want to come over for a pegging party?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you heard what you want to hear, yeah.
Right.
Like P asterisk asterisk ing party.
See, I think if we didn't mention the book first and we said we're having a packing party, people would be honored to be invited because they would think they're packing. Which, Keith is looking at me funny now.
What's this? What the fuck?
What do you think packing means?
I think packing means, like, I'm packing, meaning my junk is big.
Right, that's what I was saying. People would, it would be like a, like, yeah, like stuff your junk party. And that's why the natural transition is to go to a pegging party, hence wearing a strap-on dildo and fucking someone with it.
I honestly would rather go to a party where they put books in envelopes. I don't know what you ladies are talking about. How are you two, by the way, the Neffles? How are you?
Fantastic.
We're great.
John has he has a happy look. Every time I see him, there's a little bit of, I don't know if it's soul dying or sadness, and he quit his job.
That's right.
Yay.
And I'm very proud of you. What was it?
I was working.
Who cares?
Yeah. I was working and I quit. I was working at an ad agency, and I just decided one day that I had had enough of it. And so I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done.
Were you a good employee?
I was a pretty good employee. So much so that when I quit, my boss was like, well, you know what? The world can be a scary place. Whenever you need a job, you can come back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How old are you? The world can be a scary place?
I'm 28.
No, here's the thing about the Neffles. They look so innocent. And even I, like, the first couple times I met John, because I met John first, I'm like, oh, what a nice guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he opens his mouth and a lot of shit comes out. I'm like, oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Right, they look so innocent because they're very light skinned.
They look innocent. They look young. They look pure.
Yeah,
hey, Arian, I think we could. I mean, we're 24 and 28. I think we could pass for like 14 and 18.
Totally. Yeah, that's what it is.
And we're very, as you said, we're very sort of pale, very blonde, but like we're like a very special kind of white. We're like Hitler's choice white, basically.
I would go with that.
Like
yes.
if he could pick out a skin type, he'd be like, yeah, what the Neffles look like, that's what I want.
You know what's weird? As messed up as Hitler was, it still feels a little good, right?
It's kind of flattering, yeah.
It's still something.
It's good to be the best at something.
Now, I'm surprised you let it, because I've seen parts of Mad Men, and it looks very exciting. Did you guys ever kill a person?
No, I kept waiting for them to give me a secretary I could have sex with, and it just, I was drinking at work, I was really trying to do my best. I was smoking indoors when I wasn't supposed to.
You're like, hey, Toots, make me lunch, and she's like, I'm your boss, and you're like, you're a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
I can imagine how surprised I was when I heard about that.
Right.
I think John and Molly Neffel should totally kill someone, because no one would believe it. They'd probably go to the police and go, that was me. And the police would go, no.
The second night in a row where somebody has said that we should be serial killers.
Literally, we were at a show last night where the host of the show was like, these guys should be serial killers because they look so innocent. Apparently, we look so innocent that people really want us to do evil.
Well, and we also, now that I quit my evil job, I got a good job working with Molly at an after-school program.
I got John a job at my nonprofit. So now we both teach, like, adorable at-risk Dominican children in the Bronx.
Yeah. So we have such great alibis that we could murder anybody.
Yeah, we could be the most evil people in the world because by day, we're very good people.
It would be something if they are killers.
And this is the jokes.
And Pete, well, no, we're the ones who keep bringing it up. Everybody goes to them, like, you should be killers. And like, my God, this is horrible. He wants to tell these people, no, I shouldn't, because everybody's guessing it. That we would be terrible.
I think we would have to, like, kill, like, bad, like, people who were, like, mean to their siblings. That's who we would kill.
like bad older brothers.
Yeah, I've always had a mean older brother. I'll take care of him for you. That's what we would have to do. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Now so you guys would just be bullies.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that she got you a job, where are you working?
So I'm at a school in the Bronx teaching poetry after school.
For what grade?
K through five.
How can you fuck it up? Especially now, 2010. This is ridiculous. But I don't know if you know this. Poetry doesn't have to rhyme. I bet he's one of those fruits.
Oh, yeah. I don't make him rhyme shit.
What are you teaching?
It's hard, Keith. It's hard.
Well, I'll tell you this. So, a few weeks ago, we had a class on similes, which if anybody out there listening doesn't remember, a simile is when you compare two... Having that you're falling asleep. Oh, no. This is your poetry lesson for the evening. So it's comparing two things using like or as. So I hold up an empty Ziploc bag, and I say, all right, this is for the fifth graders. I say, who can tell me what this is like? And a kid raises his hand, and he goes, that bag is as empty as a hobo's stomach.
Wow.
And I was like, that's fucking awesome. This is poetry. And then I was like, all right, who can top that? Who can top that? And another, a little girl raised her hand, and she was like, that bag is as empty as a dead man's head. Which is pretty amazing.
But right? Kind of stupid, right? Because you would still have the brains in there. And nothing goes away.
Keith, poetry.
Let's not nitpick, Keith.
Oh, okay.
Also, fun fact, today I was hanging out with the fifth graders, and they were talking about video games. And I was like, you guys, let's use similes. Let's talk about similes here. So one of them goes, Dragon Ball Z is as violent as Call of Duty.
That's pretty good.
And then another one goes, that's not true.
It's just not true.
Yeah, they argue about stuff like
that. It's a different level of violence.
MJG is writing, poetry is boring as hell.
Oh, well, he just hasn't been reading the right poetry or going to Mr. John's class. That's what's also great is they call me Mr. John, and they call Molly Miss Molly.
I'm Miss Molly, which I love. Yeah. I love being Miss Molly so much that I refer to myself as Miss Molly, even with kids who are, like, far too old to buy the, like, referring to yourself in the third person. Like, fifth graders will come in and I'll be like, Miss Molly has a headache. Literally yesterday, I was with fifth graders. I go, Miss Molly has a headache, you guys. Go easy on me. And one of them goes, Miss Molly, I can see your headache. Like, that's how unhappy I looked.
And did you say, this isn't poetry class. That's my brother.
Well, yeah. I mean, I end up saying that a lot because they think that since we're brother and sister that we have to, like, have the same mind. They'll be like, oh, Mr. John, does he know the same games as you? And then, but yeah, they came in yesterday and I said, I have a headache.
So John has one too?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Mr. Like, John definitely has a headache.
Nobody could, you don't give anybody a bad grade in your class, right? It's poetry.
There's
how
no
can you get it wrong?
It's after school.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very low pressure.
We have a wonderfully, like, we're not really held accountable to anyone. It's great.
It's much more like being a camp counselor, basically.
Right.
Like, we're teachers and we have curriculum, but we don't have grades and we don't have tests and we don't have anything. So it's mostly hanging out with the kids and, like, trying to make them not hate school, which they naturally do.
And you're keeping them off the street. That's the big thing, right?
Yeah. And not to be a PSA here, but just real quick, I'm going to say, our fucking after-school program is the shit, and the kids in our after-school program, I'm sorry, I'm totally, like, yes. I'm gonna nerd out about this for a second.
That they came to plug their after-school special instead of their their comedy.
Yeah, we have plenty of comedic projects, but mostly we want to talk about after-school.
This is the last thing I'm gonna say. The kids in our after-school program score 55% better on reading and writing than the kids who aren't in after-school.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
I know. Miss Molly teaches you some pretty useful shit. You go to after school for 3 hours a day, you learn how to read and write, and it's good for you, and then you end up doing better. So
you so are killing someone.
I know. I'm sorry. I really am very passionate about this.
Does Miss Molly have a few cocktails before after school specials?
One time I was going on a first date in the morning, and I was going to get drunk at the date because it was a first date, so I was like, right, I need to get drunk, but I was teaching later and I felt guilty and I didn't.
Wait, I thought you did end up getting drunk at that date.
No, he was like, oh no, Bloody Marys here are expensive, let's not. But I was planning on getting drunk.
Wait, that's...
She went on a date.
No, but did you hear that, like, she didn't drink because he thought...
Oh yeah.
He thought those drinks were expensive.
Well, the whole relationship was just... It was troubled from the very beginning.
No second date.
Well, no, we actually ended up having pretty good sex for a couple of weeks, but then it ended up ending.
Do you ever meet the people that she goes out with, John?
Oh yeah, I know the guy she's talking about. Yeah.
He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you want to kill them most of the time?
No, I know. I don't care. She, Molly can make her own mistakes. As that's sort of been, I take a very laissez-faire approach to being a sibling.
Does she ever say, like, oh, this didn't work out? And you're like, and does it bother when you're like, yeah, no.
Well, yeah, usually I'm like, well, yeah, that guy seemed like a loser. And or
does she say, why didn't you say something?
No, I like, don't want to know what he thinks about the people I date. You can understand this. You don't want somebody being like, that guy sucks, like, as you're, like, going on the first few dates with somebody.
I don't want to be like, it to be a catastrophe. And then all my friends go, yeah, we all knew.
You get the first couple dates to decide that on your
own.
No,
like,
your friends
like
have to give you that space.
Yeah, there's like about a month leeway, I think, before you really have to be like, hey, this guy's kind of a prick, or you know, conversely for Molly to be like, hey, that girl you're dating is really, really unpleasant.
Well, let me ask you guys what you think about this. As teachers.
As professional educators.
As professional educators. This is a letter from Little Miss Chaos, and she says, hi, Keith and Khemda. I would just like to let you know that you have been a part of another A-plus college paper. I don't know if this is... this might be our fifth, maybe. Somewhere between 5 and 10. People use us for their college papers. I don't know what fucking colleges these are. Yeah. But they all get A's or A-pluses without exaggeration. One was on our forums and how intricate it was. One was just on the show in general. One was on Keith Justice, my one strike and you're dead law. and they explain it very well, and they get good grades. Here's another one. I had to write about a current social problem in my social problem sociology class, and I chose to write about underage drinking and the current ban of Four Loko. You guys know Four Loko?
I love Four Loko. Let's talk about it. I love talking about Four Loko.
Are you worried about her drinking problem, John?
Are you worried that she's already slurring and we're only 20 minutes into the show?
Four Loko!
Do you enjoy Four Loko? I hate the taste.
I mean, it tastes awful.
Right.
But it to be the fair, there's like 12 different flavors, which is just a step up from Sparks, which has only three flavors: diet, regular, and extra alcoholic. Black is extra alcoholic, for those of you at home who are looking for the extra alcoholic Sparks. I like Four Loko because it has a litany of flavors, one of which is blue raspberry, mm-hmm. one of which is watermelon, one of which is lemonade. They have so many flavors.
Can I just say, I'm picturing her at like a Four Loko tasting party right. that she hosts, and everyone's like taking it, swooshing it in their mouth, and then like, spitting it out.
No, I mean, I know Four Loko is terrible, whatever, yada, yada, yada. I don't think,
You know, everybody's talking, yada, yada, yada. I like how she says it's a step up from Spark. Do you know you're 24 years old? Like, you should be on Georgie minimum by now.
Wait, what's Georgie?
Hello.
Oh, it's vodka, right?
Right, right. I'm okay. Just saying, like, it's a step up from Sparks. Like, nobody's supposed to drink either.
I hear you. But what I don't get about the Four Loko ban is everyone's like, oh, it's going to kill you. Oh, you're going to, what are you going to, there's like this, like, e-card where it's like, oh, you're going to do lines of coke and then, like, take shots of tequila. What I don't get is that, like bars aren't going to make it illegal for you to order, like, Red Bull vodkas.
Right.
So why is everyone freaking out about Four Loko?
When you go and you get a Red Bull and vodka at a bar, it's not 26 ounces. It's four.
Those Four Lokos are gigantic.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
I was just listening to the episodes where you guys were talking about it while I was trying to figure out what to write about. So it was only fitting to use you guys as some of my sources. I received 100 out of 100 on this. I would like to thank you for the inspiration and the giggles I had while writing this section I included you guys in. I'm like a scientist. I don't know what she's laughing about. I attached a copy of the paper, and because I knew you're busy people, I'll tell you where your section is. The end of page 2 and the end of page, it ends on page 4. Very, very smart. I was looking at 7 pages. I'm like, oh, well, I'll never know. But she narrows it down. Thanks for everything and love the show. So this is for the class is Sociology 3, Social Problems. And it's called Blackout in a Can. That's the title of her paper.
That's clever.
How do you guys feel about Four Loko? You're against it?
It's very weird to ban one thing and not the other, is how
right?
I feel.
That's how I feel.
So it's very weird. Instead of I don't know. It's like alcohol is shitty. It's a shitty product. There are lots of shitty alcoholic products out there. So now you're banning this one, but people are dying.
To me, it's silly to say it's not made for children. No offense, Molly. Child. it's made for children. And then you have like, what if an adult likes it? And I'm just like, do you adult? Well, not me, but there might be one out there.
No, there's lots of adults who like it, just to provide a counterpoint here.
No, the artists you hang out with are so poor. It just seems that way.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know. It seems like everybody tries to get away with something. Like, well, hey, government, what if I'm an adult and I happen to like it? You don't happen to like it. It's for children. You could tell by the packaging it's for children. They're trying to sneak shit in. It's not like, what if this is sincerely what I like? Nobody has that sip of Four Loko and goes, what's everybody talking about? That's tasty.
Yeah, you know, I would have swished this around and smelled a bouquet.
Right.
Yeah,
the blue raspberry bouquet.
But at the same time, when I see people taking shots, they don't have the bouquet face either.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And I don't see the reason to take shots except for to get shit face.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not going.
No one's banning shots from the bar. Like, no one's being like, no one can take shots.
How often are you drinking these shots?
As often as you like.
No bar is being like, oh, you can only take a shot once an hour. That's not happening.
That just happens to be what people do, though.
No, it's not.
No, Keith. Come on.
Always.
No way.
Always.
Once an hour?
Always.
No. There is nothing. Banning Four Loko is not changing the way that people drink at all.
Okay. Well, let's hear the paper and see if Kenda agrees with herself, shall we? Okay. Different types of media have been covering this new perspective on underage drinking. Not only are television stations and newspapers having reports and articles discussing this recent ban of alcoholic drinks, but new media podcasts have also had segments dedicated to discussing how intense the effects this drink has on its consumers. The podcast Keith and the Girl, (KATG), if you don't have all day, had three different segments on three consecutive shows talking about the effects of Four Loko and their feelings towards the banning of the drink in the States. Keith Malley's reaction to Fuse and Products lobbyists, really? I never use those words. Fuse and Products lobbyists' response to underage children abusing Four Loko shows that there is a hint of marketing towards the younger end and possibly below the drinking age spectrum. The lobbyists declare that no one was more upset than they were that underage drinkers were being harmed by their product. And then Malley responded, quote, "Can we agree that you're deliberately making a product to get messed up?" And then she has those brackets for messed up. So obviously I said fucked up. Yes.
Messed up.
But, nobody feels worse about it than us. Makers who try to mix and disguise caffeine and just we put the worst shit in. We tried hard to make it taste good. This is the best we can.
Yeah,
so we put flowers on the can and we had to write it has alcohol inside.
But for the record, I was not on the side of these guys making the drink like, oh, no, they're just innocent. None of these people are innocent.
Drink it responsibly. Drink your four cups of coffee and four beers responsibly all at once.
I mean, Four Loko is so obviously marketed towards like the 16-year-old skater demographic. Like, it looks exactly like the Monster Energy drink cans. It looks exactly like that, and it's like, the whole reason that you drink Four Loko is to just get as fucked up as possible, as quickly as possible. And it's definitely marketed towards, like, 16, 17-year-olds. That said, I feel like prohibiting drinks... Like, I'm very conflicted, actually, remarkably, about Four Loko. Because it shouldn't, like... I feel like it is bad to market to kids the same way that using, like, Joe Camel is bad to market cigarettes to kids.
See, I never understood that. Because you're not targeting 5-year-olds.
Right.
So I don't understand the Camel guy, like a 16-year-old, is like, that Camel looks cool.
Yeah, and then maybe it's because I'm an adult, but I've never actually thought that...
I'm just kidding.
Maybe it's because I'm an adult, but I've never actually thought that Four Loko was marketed as an energy drink. To me, because I'm an adult, perhaps I've never been on the other side of it, but it seems like it's an alcohol that's marketed as like an energy alcoholic drink, but alcohol is first. Now, as opposed to people are saying it's marketed as an energy drink, like to kids, that has alcohol in it. I've never, like, I'm an adult, so I live in the world where it's like, of course it's alcoholic. So I don't know.
Are you saying you're an adult, Molly?
I'm saying I'm an adult. I'm saying despite the fact that I love Blue Raspberry Four Loko, and I'll get all fucked up on that shit, I'm going to probably drink one after I leave here tonight, that I think, yes, I'm an adult, and I think that Four Loko, I understand that it is marketed to kids,
right.
But I'm saying that I haven't experienced that, so that when people say it's an energy drink with alcohol, it's the opposite for me. I feel like the adults view it, obviously.
Just like you viewed your vodka and soda and ginger ale as vodka and some other shit.
Well, no, it goes without saying that, that when you're drinking booze, you acknowledge that you're drinking booze. And of course, when you're a kid, marketing is different, and you're saying, okay, so this is a energy drink that's being marketed to kids.
I think they're well aware of the alcohol as well.
They're well aware, and if you went and you got... obviously, you can do anything to excess, but you go and you pick up a bottle of something at a store, you pick up some beer or something. You could be going, all right, let me just take the edge off. I had to teach fucking poetry to kids. Yeah. You pick up a Four Loko, admit it.
Yeah.
I taught poetry to fucking kids. You're getting fucked up, and they're not drinking that on Mad Men.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we did spend all day teaching fucking terrible children. They're awful. We want to get fucked up. But
I think John's face is very awesome right now.
Explain.
He's like, my sister's drunk.
Oh, I'm drunk too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mally's co-host Hemda Khalili replied, yes, but you're not deliberately making it for kids to get fucked up. She replaces it with messed up. I think kids will drink whatever to get fucked up, so I think that's your argument, that this will get them fucked up. There's a reason why Kyle, the 20-year-old intern.
21,
right. Drank it. It's the cheapest thing he could find that will have the most effect. It's easier to overindulge in this because it's more alcohol, less money. Keith and Hemda express how many people feel on the issue that even though it is not blatantly marketed to kids, it is still alluring to them because of the fruity energy drink taste and because it is very cheap for its alcohol content. It is the underage drinkers that will take what they can get with their lack of money that they have. Mally makes a good point. Thank you.
Hey, look at that.
Mally makes a good point.
Mally or Molly?
One of us make a good point when they state that, quote, you're not going to be with your boss that's sipping scotch drinking a Four Loko. And then you can find this at Keith and the Girl Loko, episode 1293. That the drink is directed towards someone who is 18, 16, or even, period. So I don't know what she's trying to say there. I don't know how that's... I would give you a 99 in all fairness. Dr. O'Brien, a doctor, is on the same page as Khalili, saying,
me.
Kids who buy it aren't drinking for social convention. They're on an intoxication quest, of course.
Which I think more than half of people who are drinking are on an intoxication quest.
Exactly.
I don't think that people are in bars just, I think they are drinking socially, but I don't think this is an uncommon phrase. Let's get fucked up. Not uncommon.
It's where you're going. It should be uncommon. Keith and the Girl had a poll on their website about what people thought about banning of the drink. 38.46% voted that it was understandable, and 61.54% voted it was unjust. The people whom this is most affecting are the ones who have the biggest reaction. They are against the stance that the government is taking, but since there is not much they can do about it, there will be an overindulgence of the substance as a sort of last hurrah before it is completely banned.
See, here's a doc from G-Berg is saying all alcohol is meant to fuck you up, and I think that's a good point.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Let me tell you about Doc from G-Berg. Anytime I have one of my chat parties hanging out with my virtual friends, calls in so drunk, such a mess. There's 60 I could play you. He's crazy. Out of control. It's him. He has a drinking problem, and then he'll call and go, please don't talk about, please don't play these on the show. I'm like, I'm not, you're a mess. Please, Keith. I'm like, all right, I gotta go play a song nobody cares about. You gotta hang up. Come on, please. And calls all night long till 6 a.m. when he passes out. So there you go. Very good point. Who else should we bring up? Please, I know Doc. Oh, alcohol tries to get you fucked up. You have things you got to deal with, Doc.
So you're saying
I get six apology calls the next day, as though I cared in the first place.
He calls you the next day to apologize.
Oh yeah, 10 apologies.
He looks at his drink and goes, "This is trying to get me fucked up."
Yeah. He's the guy that hangs out with you. You know, it's your house, so you're pouring drinks. Like, you got me fucked up last night.
You did this to me.
Yes, I did, 45-year-old. Yes, I did. Yeah.
But that's the only point that I think that I want to emphasize, is that our bar is going to ban Red Bull vodkas. That's the only... And I know that it's a different thing. You say it's, like, smaller... But
not only that, part of the argument about that is Red Bull vodka costs twice or three times as much as this drink. And right. The idea of this drink is it's got so much for so little. And so that's kind of the fucked up thing about it, is it seems very targety. It seems like you're targeting not just little kids, but alcoholics and, you know,
cheap
poor guy, like just generally not the right target type of, like, all around, you know?
Yeah.
Like people who shouldn't have access to cheap alcohol.
Probably.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Drunks, hipsters, yeah. All those things. All right. I hear you. I feel like I've gotten pigeonholed into this weird position where I'm like advocating for Four Loko, which I'm not necessarily, but I'll defend it because I just don't understand. Like, people will be like, combining caffeine and alcohol is dangerous. And that's my defense is like, well, what about, you know, Red Bull vodka? What about, like, Diet Coke vodka? Like, it's combining caffeine and alcohol is an age-old thing. So I don't...
No, it was the level of alcohol and caffeine and the cheapness of it.
Okay, I see that. I'll admit that I might be wrong.
Barrel Ass is saying, "Someone please shoot her, Jesus Christ."
Who, I can't.
Yeah, they're very passionate. But,
jeez.
But here's one, Crazy Kev from Canada. "I love Molly. She is great. I'm loving this show even more tonight. I'm fucked up right now."
Hey.
Well, he knows. He or she.
Hey, I want to show you this this picture. I think it's kind of funny.
Oh, I know about this guy.
He ate a bag of cocaine.
That's right.
You give it away.
Okay, well, there's that story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just joking. A guy, he's 18 years old. He was transporting drugs in his vehicle. He got pulled over for not using his turn signal. So the cop comes up to his car. This is in Massachusetts.
Don't you feel like they were watching him then? Just please fuck up. Please fuck up. We know something's wrong. There's not a lot of times where people get pulled over for not signaling.
He has a small baggie of Coke in it, you know, with Coke in it, and he just eats it all. They take his mugshot. We'll put this on the website. Kendra's holding it on her camera right now. How would you describe this look? I mean, he looks like the Joker, right? His eyes are bulging out of his head. Jesse Joyce looks like he's sleeping next to this guy. A smile from ear to ear. Like he can't stop his face from... He can't shut up his face. That's what it looks like.
It's like somebody's got their fingers in his mouth, mm-hmm. and they're pulling it back. Like stretching his mouth out.
Like, but at the same time, his eyes are like...
Right. Hey, I want to mention this, by the way. Speaking of the Joker. Keith and the Girl TV. The latest one. Number 35. I believe there's actually 35.5 of them. We did one... We did one with
Salvia.
On Salvia, and then Sexy Potato wanted to do it. Emmy, a couple days later, so we just added that as another one. So we call it 35.5. But you go to keithandthegirltv.com, and you can see these. And here's some responses to Hemda at Comic-Con, not knowing who anyone is. Not that I did either, but I think it's just funny. I'm like, I know nobody's called a Thundercat. I just fought Thundercat, and I won. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Well, here's some comments. This person... I'm almost throw up from laughing. The Girl comic book needs to be written. I am totally going next year, but I'm dressing up as Hemda.
No, I was dressed up as the Girl.
Mm-hmm, you were the Girl, and what was your power?
My power was being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good power.
Thank you very much.
Hemda is the best thing ever.
Ooh.
Hemda trying to kill Jesus was probably the best 10 seconds I've ever spent watching anything.
You know what was great about Jesus is he really just stayed in character the whole time. And I'm taking a sword. I took someone else's sword out of their holster. Like, mm-hmm. I need this now. And then I took it out, started beating on Jesus. And Jesus was like, I will love you forever. And he just kept calm. And
really?
Just kept, yeah. He was. It just made me feel like he's more crazy and needs to die a little faster.
Gold, pure gold, I think I said. What's funny about this, too, is if we have it connected to YouTube. And, you know, people can like it or dislike it, which I don't get the dislike. And then, and anytime I say that, people tell me like, okay, so you just want positive? Yeah. God forbid this world had more positivity. That would be horrible.
What an awful thing if people were more positive generally.
So Keith, you could take the good and not the bad? Yes!
Yeah.
And you know what? And I have my two friends that could tell me when I'm doing something that's not good. Keith, your autobiography, you know, it isn't good and you're going to put it out. I don't think you should. I got my friends that can tell me this. I got Doc from G-Burt calling me up, all drunk and cursing. Like, it's a horrible thing you're doing. And I'm like, you said you wanted to be told. I never said that. Only likes. I like this Facebook. Only likes.
Exactly. Well, and also the passion that people are like, we need a dislike button on Facebook. Like, really? This is like your cause?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could just, if you don't like something on the internet, you know what else is on the internet? Fucking everything in the fucking world.
Information. like, go read something else.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, there's a Facebook page as a campaign to get a dislike button.
Sure, yes. Bunch of assholes.
I don't like that. I mean, I don't like that.
How do I express this?
When I say I don't like it, I mean, I don't like it.
We should all just write on their page, dislike.
Well, that's probably their argument. They probably say, you would like to tell me you don't like it, don't you? But you can't.
But this is all the people who are advocating for a dislike button. Would they really want, whenever they update their status, people to just be like, dislike?
And also, you know, your picture.
Yeah.
You know, and they post picture of their kids. Dislike your kid.
But yeah, it's fun. The like button's funny, too. It's like, I broke my arm today. Like.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I guess. I don't know. Did you break your arm, too? Like, should I be asking you a follow-up?
Yeah. Are you feeling my pain here?
Yeah, people will be like, oh, I'm in a really hard place right now. My dog died, and my family's going through struggles, and, like, three people like this. It's like, what does that mean?
But our video, this is what I was getting at, has two dislikes for Hemda at Comic-Con. Now, two out of all the people watching it. That's pretty amazing. But still, I'm like, who, how do you, like, are you hurt? Like, somebody took a long, are you one of the people in a costume, and it took you half a day to get in to be Mario, and then kind of goes, who are you? And you're like, fuck you! I knew I'd find you. I can't imagine why you would dislike it. Obviously, that was King Utica you were. Like, who gives a fuck?
You can't imagine why someone would dislike it. I'm the girl, and my power is being an asshole.
I still don't get it. Okay. I still don't see it.
Even like Robin in the video, you're, you know, talking about like how if he's afraid if his junk is going to be exposed. Even right. He seemed like he was like, hey, there's a girl talking about my penis. Like, this is kind of awesome. Like, I feel like he would definitely like the video.
Fucking,
you know?
Comic-Con.
To be honest, I was scared that Keith would dislike some of the footage because I was scared that you were like, that you, because you don't like being in people's face, and you don't like...
I'm not in this video at all.
No, he didn't even come.
I thought you were going to say, I'm not in this face.
No, he wasn't there that day because he knows to stay far, far away from this kind of stuff. And so I thought you'd be like, you're too obnoxious, this isn't okay, blah, blah, blah. But apparently you were all right with it.
Well, to be fair, you also looked amazing. You were wearing, like, awesome shoes, awesome clothes.
It's the girl outfit.
Right.
I would pick up that comic book.
That's what I'm saying. People should like, at least like your shoes if they don't like the video.
How can you not like all of it? That's ridiculous.
People should be like, dislike, wait, never mind. Those shoes,
I'm like, they're so ridiculous. I wish I could wear them just walking around, but they're about 7 inches of platform and they're ridiculous and I'm 35 years old. But I'm like, Comic-Con, I can wear those there. And so I made up a character just based on me wanting to wear these shoes.
And that was like the first thing I noticed. I was like, shoes, awesome shoes.
I mean, I guess I get it. The video starts with kind of sits next to the Joker of all things, right? The most well-known bad guy of all time. and sits down and goes, so are you a clown? And you know somebody's watching. I'm like,
it's the Joker. This is where we tell you was a clown. Where would you even go if you don't know it? Booth 208.
What a terrifying voice.
Are you auditioning for the Joker in the next Batman?
Terrifying.
That would be so great. Everybody, the Joker. It was a meat motion picture. Nolan directed it.
I would like to point out that Keith's head looks like it's about to pop.
Because I'm so upset.
His face is very red.
Can you leave my voicemail message in that voice?
You called John Neville.
Like Carl Castle on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's Keith as the Joker.
I didn't mind, but the book was so much better.
I saw the movie The Losers, and I thought it was great. It's a slick action movie, if you like those kinds of things. And sometimes I don't like that stuff, but this one I did. It made sense to me. Yeah, it's a little exaggerated, but, you know, some guy gets shot in both legs. He can't stand up and keep fighting. And I'm like, that's realistic for an action movie. I like that. So, you know, I tell people, I Twitter it, because I like getting those. It's all about the ads, by the way. I'm really just using people. But I hear what their responses is, you know. If they like it or didn't like it, and somebody said,
but the book was better. It was a comic book!
Yeah.
The book was better? The book was better because in my hand, we're all able to fly.
My goodness. I saw some other movies. I saw one Hemda recommended. I saw the.
Don't say that. I would never, ever recommend a movie to you. Ever. Let's just make that clear before you get into how much you hate everything.
Did you recommend The Social Network?
Oh, I want to see whether it's good. Is it good?
I thought you should watch it because I found it interesting, but I did say it does get long towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a good movie. I'm glad I watched it. I think that we're all on Facebook, so it's like, oh, this is how Facebook became.
Right. It's good. It's like good
informative.
To,
yes.
All
right. Yes. I loved it.
Yay!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic. I love the writer, Aaron Sorkin. I think he's fantastic.
I like the dialogue and everything. Like, right away, I said, oh my, because there were so many previews, I thought maybe this was a preview also. When the movie started, I was like, whatever movie this is, I want to watch it. And then I realized I'm watching the movie.
I think it's great. You want to talk about nerds. That guy is a douche. It was the director, David Fincher, I believe, the guy that did Fight Club. And I heard him in some interview, and he says, well, I'm just going to present to you the facts about Facebook, and you could see the main guy behind Facebook, and I'm just going to tell you what happens. You decide if he's an asshole or not. I'm not saying either way. I don't know either way. I'm like, did you see the movie you directed? Yeah. There isn't a bigger piece of shit.
He's an asshole. He's an asshole. I thought it was weird. I didn't know that the director said that. I thought that what you just said is weird that he just said, because at the end of the movie, to me, it's commenting on, we don't think this guy's an asshole, like, feel bad for him enough. See, this is why assholes get away with some stuff sometimes, because, yes, he's such a nerd that you feel bad for him because he's so not able to socialize that that's sort of how he gets himself into trouble. No, he fucking backstabs people in order to further himself to show off to this girl.
Is he portrayed in a negative light at all, or not?
To me, he's not. It's not like, oh, hate this guy, and it's also not like this guy. But it's like, this is what happened. What do you think? And I think your average person is more forgiving of an asshole, especially because you're on Facebook. Especially because the people, the original people that he fucked over, were kind of big fucking douchebags. So you wouldn't
like them. Twins?
Yeah, they're assholes.
They didn't bother me at all. I liked them. I thought you were on their side from the get-go.
No, I thought because they were sort of snobby,
elitist,
not nerds. They weren't nerds. They were elitist. They were handed a silver spoon. Like, they were just very
entitled?
Entitled and cradled, and they had, you know, they started off with a life that's just, you know, given to them, you know? And this guy obviously is only in the school because he's like super genius, but you know, these twins would have been in the, you know, their genetics, their heritage, their whatever, you know, oh, I come from a line of, you know, whatever. So yeah, I think they were hateable.
Doug is saying some things in that movie were wrong. For example, the girlfriend dumping him and making him make Facebook is completely made up. I don't believe that's what he just took the idea from other people. It wasn't because of his girlfriend. That's what I believe. Maybe and I just saw it.
Maybe he's not expressing himself correctly. Like, this guy wanted to be successful to show girls.
Right.
Specifically this right. one girl. Yeah. But like, it wasn't, but he didn't make Facebook for her.
Right. To get back at her or something
no,
like that.
No.
I just found it strange. I love the actor that played the twins, but there's an actor that plays twins, one actor. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
The twins. Is one dude.
No.
Yeah, this is like watching Fight Club again. maybe that's what he wanted to do. Because like after you make a movie like Fight Club, and I think he did Panic Room, which, you know, you see the inside of a stove for no reason. You know, it's all special effects. And he's like, this movie's too fucking easy. It's just people in college. Let's make one person be twins.
Like, no.
They couldn't find twins?
Are you sure about
this? I'm positive.
What a waste of time.
I don't get it. I do not get it.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm running through the movie in my head. Yeah. What a waste of time.
I mean, sometimes they look at each other, and then after you know, you wonder, like, would you be looking at him that way? Or you're just trying to show that you can look at somebody, and you're not really looking at anybody. It's very strange.
Are you sure about this?
But nobody's correcting me.
When I watch this movie, that's all I'm going to be thinking about now.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry that you had to know this ahead of time. That's like knowing the Sixth Sense thing ahead
Bruce
of time.
Willis is
or
nice.
Even the Fight Club.
That's mm-hmm. true. Well, are just, you making this up to see if I would believe you?
No. Hey, Doug will set this straight. He knows everything. Doug, I'm correct, right? The twins was one person?
It's the same director who did Benjamin Button. Essentially, they did every scene in two passes and then blended them together. It's pretty cool. They invented a bunch of new stuff to be able to do it.
Now, why?
So we can watch the movie again.
I have no idea. It's one of those weird, like, it's awesome that they could do it, but I have no idea why they did it.
There's no other twins. Fucking twins thought they're like, hey, we have an inn. You need twins, you go to us. They're like, no. I mean, like, you know what? I bet twins like got together in Hollywood, and they're like, no, you pay double. You don't pay us double. You pay us quadruple. You need us. It's like a midget going, you need midget? You go through the midget organization. They're like, nah, I'm the dude from Fight Club. Yeah. I make midgets
the
now.
The twins have formed a union and are blackmailing them.
I make a midget. Fuck you.
That's the technology that I make now. Yeah. We shoot the scene twice. Once in real size, once in small person size.
No reason. I got too much time on my hands. Shooting at Harvard's kind of easy.
Yeah. You know I'm a famous director, right?
Almost entirely not at Harvard. There's only like two scenes in the whole movie that are Harvard. All the Harvard stuff is fake. That's all digital.
I'm okay with that. I believe there are books at Harvard and they worked somewhere in Harvard. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother me.
But it's digital, right. Meaning it's going to cost a lot.
Yeah, just why? They wouldn't let you in Harvard?
You know why? Because they have Facebook money.
Right. But so now, do you know so much about this world, Doug, that you couldn't get into it? Like, you know what I mean?
I've only seen like the beginning. I've only seen the first like half hour of the movie. I haven't had the time to sit down and actually watch it.
Now, you didn't have the time, or it's just it was already disgusting you?
No, it looked really good. Like, it seems like a really, really good movie, and I'm a big fan of Fincher, but it just didn't have time.
This is interesting. I thought you would, like, have to. You're into all this stuff.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm like, Zuckerberg's, like, an interesting guy in the technology world, but it's not like seeing his personal history really affects me in any real way.
Doug sent me
I'm more interested in, like, seeing Sorkin because he's such a good writer and Fincher's such a great director. And the technical parts of the film, like, how good the set extensions are and
all right. I'm lost. In the movie, they're working on this code, and they say I'm wired in, and I guess that means you don't bother somebody because they're focusing, sure. Right? So that's normal. Like you've been wired in before, and the worst thing would be to offer you a sandwich. Like, I'm fucking wired in, like the Matrix almost.
You got to remember how close to autistic most people who write code for a living are, and like, just it's just one of those things that like interrupting them in any way is a problem,
right?
But there's a great talk with Mark Zuckerberg that he gave at All Things D. He got up on stage to give a talk, and you can see he's so physically nervous. He just starts, like, flop sweating, and he has to take his sweater off, like, mid-speech. And you can see his whole body is soaked in sweat because he's so nervous to be talking in front of, like, 100 people. He's just that weird.
And who's this guy?
The
Mark Zuckerberg, this is the main character.
Why didn't Jesse Eisenberg?
Right. Do we think, is there a theory that he's like Asperger's?
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe. I don't know that he's not diagnosed or anything. He's just a weird guy.
Well, according to the movie, he can't relate to a single person. I mean,
well, I don't think you could be that smart and just be. See, I'm surprised that my brother Michael has so much social skills. You know, because he's a coder and he
comes up to women and grabs their tits. These are social skills nowadays.
Well, I will say I used to be an autism teacher. So I know, I'm trying to start a crusade against people casually using the, like, oh, he's on the autism spectrum. Because people, like, will casually use that. And
We diagnose people every day here.
Right. Yeah. And it's actually very useful because a lot of people are on the autism spectrum. But I used to be a teacher for children on the autism spectrum. And so I try to advocate for really only using that classification when it's really necessary.
I'm going to veto that.
No?
to be fair, it's called a spectrum disorder because of where it falls on that. I mean, like, a severely autistic person is completely non-functional. They can't speak. They can't even be in a room with strangers. But, like, you can... The reason it's called a spectrum is that you can get all the way out to people who just have simple social malfunction where they're uncomfortable with new people and breaking patterns.
Sure,
and
but that, I think...
And a lot of people in the technical field tend to move into that sort of spectrum.
I think that the danger, though, of this, of saying it's a spectrum disorder, so therefore... If you're bad at talking to people, that you're on the spectrum. I think the danger of that is it's actually a cognitive like condition, and to say that
I think we're meeting different people, and trust me, the people that we're diagnosing, I've met, like, we're all uncomfortable around each other. I'm uncomfortable when I first meet people and I have a microphone in front of my face every day.
Right.
I'm not diagnosing myself. Yeah. I am not on the spectrum whatsoever.
It's the same as everybody who goes, "Oh, I'm ADD because I don't like doing my boring job."
Exactly.
But ADD is a profoundly real thing for a lot of people, and autism is a crippling disorder. People don't call themselves autistic casually, but you can look at someone like Mark Zuckerberg and say he exhibits something on the high functioning spectrum of a person with autistic tendencies.
I know what you're saying,
Doug. That's what I was wondering.
I'm getting ADD on this phone call, but I don't get ADD when it comes to fucking.
You can focus on that.
I can focus on that.
Without the help of drugs.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's strange. All right, thanks.
It's weird that that's so fascinating.
Right. All right, thanks, Doug.
Bye.
Doug also sent me this earlier when we were talking about you can only rate like, but you can't rate, you know, on Facebook. He said Safari, which is one of these web browsers, have attachments, and you can, you know, some nerd rates it, and you plug it into your browser, and you can do a bonus thing. Well, there's one, the whole point of the program is it adds an extension to Facebook called the I Don't Care button. And you can write, I don't care.
For real?
Yeah, I'm watching this Facebook movie. Yeah, I don't care. Bloop, bloop.
So here's the thing, what people are forgetting is Facebook, you have friends on there.
Yeah.
So your friends are telling you their status, and that's why you're supposed to not care about it.
Right.
So, we're just accumulating people, but originally it was supposed to be this friends thing.
Right. Yeah. One of my friends is like, hey, look at this video I think is funny, and you're like, I don't care. Like,
dislike.
So bitchy.
The update now on if people like Molly Neffel. MJG is saying this episode will exhibit be an exhibit at Molly's intervention, and Tangers from Up In Here is so in love with Molly Neffel.
I just need to say that I feel like because I've defend Four Loko, I've become this like weird mascot for it. I'm not like a defender, like I'm not crazy about Four Loko. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to say, well, why does it need... I just want to be an advocate. Why does it need to be... Mm-hmm. John, is John making a face?
I'm just hanging out.
I'm just saying, I don't understand... I think it's interesting to be an advocate against the anti-Four Loko...
Hey, Keith, remember when we were concerned, like, will we have enough whatever to make another cocktail for them? Mm-hmm. No worries.
I'm saying...
I'm just reporting what I say. You're loved out there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, just the facts.
Right.
I just want to emphasize, it's not
that
like
Four
I'm,
Loko is all right, but I'm not advocating it, but I'm just an advocate for it.
I'm not going to go to a protest to protect Four Loko, but they're I will say own. That I don't understand why everyone's so upset. No? No one? All right.
No one? From this conversation we had five times, no one has an opinion?
After I leave here, I'm just going to go get a blue raspberry Four Loko and drown my sorrows in it, and you guys can just, do whatever you want.
Another movie I saw, by the way, North by Northwest. You ever see that? The Alfred Hitchcock movie?
You know what? I still haven't. I tried to watch it when I was in high school, and I think it was one of those things where I was trying to be interesting with a girl, and mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I've got good taste in movies. Let's watch. You know, when you're in high school and you don't know anything? And we didn't make it all the way through it, probably because she left, and then I was like, I hate this movie.
It's terrible. It's so long.
It's really
nothing's
slow.
Happening. It's very slow. And, you know, it's a famous scene, I guess, where the crop duster, biplane, is chasing this guy who's a mistaken identity. He's not a spy after all. He's an ad agent, just like you were.
Just like me.
Yeah. So maybe now you'd be into it. It's like I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I'm like, I'm bored. Then I did Acid. Then I saw it. And then I'm like, This is the greatest movie ever. Yeah. And I know you're a big Acid head, so that's why you understood it.
Yeah.
John's on Acid like all the time.
He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it. He came in, he's like, I go, can I get you a beverage? He goes, you got Acid.
Because I'm coming down, and I don't want to come down.
No, I said, but that's supposed to be like, I don't know, a scary scene, a biplane's chasing down. I can get away from a biplane. Duck. Turn. I can't get away from a plane.
Zigzag like a rabbit.
Yeah, just you're running. It's chasing you the other way. That's kind of easy to get away from a plane.
I can't wait until everything that Keith says is easy in life happens to him.
You'll see.
Someday he's going to be chased by an airplane and go, maybe I should have ran a couple miles before.
No, I'm going to go, I hope Kemda believes this is happening. I'm being chased by a plane. You're going to have easy.
I like the picture of Keith in a video game, like, things are just, he's just, like, dodging, like, missiles, and he's just like, I hope Kemda sees this. This is so easy.
I beat the new Call of Duty. I didn't shoot anybody. I just ran and ducked and dove through it. Very easy.
You beat it as a pacifist?
As a pacifist. I was drunk, and I just ran through it.
Did you even did you pistol whip anyone?
I wouldn't even kick a door open to go further.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's pretty easy. I saw Celebrity Rehab 4, speaking of getting messed up. Oh, I'm in. I saw one episode only. I love it.
Was there a specific interest, like a specific celebrity that you...
No, doesn't matter the celebrity. It's almost like these celebrity roasts. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, why would you roast David Hasselhoff? It doesn't even matter.
Hasselhoff, Pamela Anderson, Shatner. It does. Yeah. Who cares? You're going to be hearing just dick jokes and poop jokes. Right. And
well, I'm watching. Here are the people on it again. Eric Roberts. He's Julia Roberts' brother.
What?
He had a
that
career.
Makes you a celebrity?
You would probably recognize him.
Okay.
I'm just a reaction to that. What?
A while ago, he was Runaway Train was a big hit for him. You know, this is a while ago. He was recently in, with all those action stars, he was recently in the Expendables. He was recently in The Expendables.
Wow, okay. I love how you looked
Incredibles?
For me.
No, the
he was in The Incredibles. He is the dad.
The Sylvester Stallone kind of action buddy ensemble comedy.
Nope, Molly was right.
Peace.
David Fincher is directing this season of Celebrity Rehab, and they're putting in a cartoon character. Seems very unnecessary, but I'm into it. And let's see, Jeremy London. He was the one, from Party of Five. He said he was the one that said two black guys kidnapped me and made me do crack. He's sticking by that story. He's amazed nobody believes him.
Even on rehab?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Janice Dickinson, she's always a mess.
Oh, I love her.
Mm-hmm. Leif Garrett, apparently a huge, huge singer. I don't know anybody that can name one song. Yeah. But apparently this guy was a huge heartthrob, and he was the greatest singer of all time.
The only reason I know his name is because it was on, he was on like some sort of VH1, Where Are They Now? Yeah. He was a huge heartthrob in the 70s or something.
1770. I don't know who this guy is.
I think it's funny when somebody gets famous for being on like a Where Are They Now, and then there's like another reality show like based off of that where mm-hmm. you're like, wait, where did this actually start? Like, are you just famous for never actually being famous enough to be remembered?
Well, they have Rachel Uchitel, and she was Tiger Woods' main mistress. Oh, she yeah. caused all the trouble.
You could tell she's a whore. That's what the joke that Joy Behar kept saying. You could tell she's a whore.
Well, Rachel, you can tell she's a whore. Was they will not say that she's Tiger Woods' mistress. She's a tabloid celebrity.
Uh-huh.
So Ooh. During the show, they won't even acknowledge that. Well, that's not a big thing, your problem, being in the spotlight for fucking Tiger Woods?
Well, I wonder if that's, you know, sort of like a lawyer issue, like against some
Okay, but it needs talked about in this fake rehab, doesn't it?
Oh, because you feel like you they're, the genuinely bottom of everything. They're genuinely trying to rehabilitate this person, so she would have to genuinely state all her issues.
There's this guy.
Keith, you're still a believer.
Jason Davis, he's a socialite.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Right.
Oh.
Who are any of these fuckers? What does celebrity mean? Who are any of these people? So, but he's funny because
maybe by celebrity rehab they mean we're gonna make these guys celebrities.
Oh, okay.
While they're in rehab
for needing so much rehab.
Right, right.
Yeah, I watch these shows sometimes. I'm like, oh shit! I recorded normal rehab. I want celebrity rehab. And so you got this guy Jason Davis. I guess he's just rich, and but he walks around and just calls people fat and oh, I smell plastic surgery. So he's a real douche. But that's fun because they do not like him. Jason Waller. I don't know. And Francine Frankie Lawns.
That sounds like a porn star. Am I right?
She's the mother of singer Keisha Cole.
Oh.
So
Kesha?
No, not Kesha now that
no,
you're
not
thinking.
Kesha.
She's African American. Her name's Keisha Cole. I don't know her. No, I don't even know the
huge.
Daughter.
She was huge. You might not know her.
Her and Leif Garrett. That's like when the Backstreet Boys joined NSYNC.
But Keisha Cole was big.
Yeah,
I was hoping it was Kesha, dollar sign Kesha.
Give it time. Give it time.
I'm sure she'll be on one of those. As throwing my reputation down the drain by defending 4 Loko, I may as well say that I also like Kesha.
By the way, Dancing with the Stars, speaking about reality shows, we found out how much Bristol Palin got paid for that. $345,000.
I knew that the going rate for a while was $200,000. I didn't realize it had gone up, almost doubled.
I thought
that's crazy.
It was something like $10,000 for every episode that you stay on, and that's why people are pushing to want to stay.
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought.
I saw her on it, and I thought she got paid in cheeseburgers.
Oh.
Yeah, she's reverse dancing, Molly. I don't know how this pig got so fat from dancing every day. Yes, she's a fat woman who, how dare she tells me to be abstinent when she had a kid.
Did you see the video of her and the situation?
Oh, yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I deliberately fucked that day.
Yeah. I didn't know people could ask
just as irresponsibly as possible.
I did ass to mouth. Fuck this.
Yeah.
I fucked without a condom a stranger on purpose.
I didn't know people could act so poorly.
Yeah.
Doug's helping me out. He's sending me KeishaCole.com. Okay. Don't worry. They tried to tell me. But $345,000. And to put that into perspective, for example, if you win the World Series, $317,000 you get.
Per player?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think it's funny.
That's crazy.
You get a ring, too, though. You can probably pawn the ring...
Yeah. And
for
reach
a couple thousand.
In all fairness, Bristol can't get a ring on those sausage fingers, so it wouldn't even matter. Oh Molly, I'm terrible. Can you imagine? Yeah. Women should stick together no matter what, whether they know what they're talking about or not.
Bristol Palin, but really, why do we have to make fun of her being fat?
For being Grangela. She goes through a reverse gym to work out. I don't know what is going on with that body of hers, that roly-poly weeble-wobble, but she rolls in there. She rolls around. They call it dancing, Molly. I'm sorry if that upsets me. We're not supposed to say nothing.
No,
God forbid.
You're
She's
right.
autistic. She's a whole bunch of shit going on with this woman.
Just keep going, Keith.
And she needs a poetry class.
Right.
Oh.
No. She's not high on 4 Loko, then there's no excuse. An Oklahoma woman was arrested for hiding stolen goods in her rolls of body fat.
Really?
Yeah. Now, we used to read stories where, like, I'm not exaggerating, a mouse got caught in a woman's fat roll, you know, coins end up, like, going through, you know, they...
The fat sort of starts to grow outside, grow with the thing in it.
Yeah, well, there was the famous story of the woman who grew to the toilet.
Yes, we read about that.
One grew...
Your skin fuses to the surface.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I can't believe you're laughing, Molly. That's terrible.
Oh, really?
A woman sat on she would live, not sat. She would live on her couch, and she would... The fat... This is even weirder and grosser than the toilet bowl. I don't know why. But her fat would start going into the little pores of the couch cushion.
Understandably.
And now it's infused in her. Ugh. So anyway, this person says, hey, let me use my fat roll. She goes to stores and she sticks things in her fat. And what are you going to say to her? You know? You see this pig, you're like, wow, I guess I saw wrong. What am I going to say?
Yeah, do you watch her lift the flab and then...
Two women... were facing charges after allegedly using their body fat to conceal $2,600 worth of stolen store merchandise.
Like what?
She's 28. One's 28, one's 37. They were arrested for shoplifting at a TJ Maxx.
Oh my God, seriously? How did they even reach $2,600?
Winter coat. Under.
Loss prevention officers caught the woman stuffing items under their stomach fat and breasts. These two were actually concealing them in areas of their body where excess skin was, under their chest area and armpits.
Okay, but in that case, then it had to have been pretty low-cost items. It had to have been, like, gloves, scarves, because, like, boots or winter coats just couldn't fit in between rolls of fat.
They reached $2,600.
And then, like, a couple months go by.
Lots of gloves.
You know, she's like, I know I stole gloves. Where? She doesn't realize until June...
Belts.
When she's reaching for something, a belt and gloves fall out of her, and she's like,
"No, they don't fall out."
It's like a TJ Maxx in here.
Yeah,
it's like those commercials, and then just belts and gloves start raining out of her body.
She had a knife in her purse she would use to cut security tags in the store. I wouldn't think those tags can get through that fat. One of the suspects has allegedly managed to conceal a pair of leather boots in her bra.
Come on.
That is seemingly impossible.
Keith, did you just make that up?
No.
Let's think it logistically. No matter how big your boobs are, that seems impossible.
I don't know. There are some pretty large women in the world.
Like a very big woman who like wraps each boob would have to be like the you know, ankle to knee area of the boot would have to be like wrapped around each boob in a very strategic way.
Here's what you guys are missing, everybody.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like the visual here is really important.
She's rubbing herself where the boot needs to be.
Boots are big. And you would have to be a big woman with a baggy shirt on.
And P.S. Molly's like one of the tiniest women I've ever met.
I also don't have very big breasts either.
You have no perspective on this.
Now, Molly, let's say these women tried to hide it in their vagina. What would they do?
Well,
in
that case,
I thought John didn't get involved.
We're all having a good time here.
You're gonna have to roll up the boot into a tiny tampon-sized boot, insert it into your vagina.
Yes, you would.
And then there's gonna be probably the rest of the shoe is gonna still be coming out of your body.
McBain is writing, and Jimmy Hoffa was actually found in one of her roles. So that's the good news.
The celebrities are trying to help out during World AIDS Day. That was December 1st, World AIDS Day.
This is separate from Celebrity Rehab, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There are even bigger celebrities than you would see on celebrities. There were celebrities such as Kim Kardashian and Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, big the names. Respectable ones.
Mm-hmm. Did you do anything for World AIDS Day, John?
You don't want to know what I did.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I would do the opposite. I would. I will not have sex on anything called World AIDS Day.
It just seems like it's a cursed day for you.
I'm like, not today. It's World AIDS Day, for God's sakes.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel like it's World AIDS Day. I'm probably in the clear.
Mm.
You know?
Well, famous celebrities like Kim and Ryan are quitting their digital lives to save real lives. Let me explain. This may be the lamest form of support I've ever seen, says this article, in my life. Instead of stopping tweeting until $1 million is donated, Why don't these people give their own cash? They're multi-millionaires. So here's what's happening. You have these celebrities, and they're and I'll play this for you. And they're saying, we will not tweet or Facebook anything until people for World AIDS Day make $1 million from your donation. What Justin Timberlake says is so important that I'm gonna want to hear it about whatever else he's hawking.
Yeah,
that I'm gonna make sure I donate to World AIDS Day.
You know what would actually help is if he tweeted about AIDS Day,
tweeted
and then
the link.
Yeah, tweeted the link and tweeted his support for it. But all of a sudden, we're not hearing from Justin. All people know is nothing. I mean, we're not like when I don't hear from somebody on my Twitter, I'm not like, oh, they must be dead or they don't like me anymore, or maybe they joined some sort of program.
And somebody's also saying only 50% of the money donated actually goes to the cause. I don't know where about the other 50%. World AIDS Day, by the way, let me play this for you first so you see what I'm talking about.
Hey, I'm Alicia Keys.
I'm Elijah Wood.
I'm Kim Kardashian.
I'm Ryan Seacrest.
I'm Serena Williams.
Hey, I'm Justin Timberlake.
Usher.
Jennifer Hudson.
Ben here from The Buried Life.
This is Swiss Beats.
And this is my last tweet and testament.
At Jay Sean is dead.
I'm dead.
Janelle Monáe is dead.
At Justin Timberlake is officially dead.
Consider this a eulogy from at Usher Raymond IV.
I've sacrificed my digital life to help give real life
to millions of people affected by HIV and AIDS
in Africa and India.
That means no more Twitter.
No more tweets from me.
No more beats, no more music.
No more Facebook.
It's all gone.
Until we help keep a child alive.
Raise some serious cash to fight this awful disease.
This is where you, my fans, come in.
You want to help them and you want to help bring me back to life.
Buy my life.
Buy my life back.
Buy my life back now.
And could you kind of hurry up and do it quick.
We got to save some lives today.
All right.
That is so pretentious.
It's very pretentious, egotistical. What's Serena Williams tweeting about? I must know.
Today. I can't wait until 2 weeks from now.
Never mind. Their Twitters are probably sponsored anyway. They could be making money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
Well, and also, as though any of those guys, I mean, maybe some of them write their own Twitter feeds, but like most people don't. Like, every politician who has a Twitter feed, they pay somebody to do that. Celebrities. Kanye West has his own Twitter feed because it's so insane. No intern could be that insane. But like, there's plenty of people who don't do their own.
Donations right now stand at just over 160,000 as of Thursday morning, reaching the $1 million mark could stretch deep into December. So these guys are probably like, well, you told me they'd get it right away. I really have an ego problem, and I would really like to say something.
Well, and it's also like kind of hard to raise awareness if you're like, well, the main tool for raising awareness has been taken away from me now.
I said no Twittering or Facebook. MySpace is cool, right? We can go on MySpace?
Suddenly MySpace becomes the big thing again.
Yeah, if people go back to Friendster.
I won't tweet anymore. Oh, how are they going to know? I'm sorry, I can't tweet that the social network's going to be on DVD.
You know, if all those celebrities actually tweeted, because those are huge celebrities, I'm sure they have a lot of people following them. If they actually just tweeted, if everyone could just give $1 to this cause, we would reach $1 million by the end of the day. And if they kept tweeting all day, like, we are this close to it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, these are huge celebrities. How many Twitter followers do they have? Fucking Snooki has tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
What's so stupid? Obviously, they can still write on their websites. Obviously, they can come out with another YouTube video and go, yoo-hoo, still dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little, you won't hear, very extremely pretentious. If we don't stop AIDS, more people are going to die. Let me explain what being dead is like. I will not tweet you my new beat at swissbeat.org15, which try to remember that for when I do come back to life, because obviously this isn't very serious.
Yeah, because it's going to be like 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then, so just to add me there.
Awful.
It's very strange. I'm glad you agree. Susan Boyle was on The View. And I find this funny because I got it from YouTube. And I bless you, Henda. Bless
thank
you.
Thank you.
I got it from YouTube, but I get it from The View's channel. And the reason I think it's funny is because she fucks up. She's a frog in her throat, can't finish singing. And that's the end of the song. And The View goes, all right, people are going to talk about this fuck up.
Yeah, put it on the official feed.
Yeah, let's put it up. Here's this sea monster, Susan Boyle. I'm sorry, Molly. Can you imagine?
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
Oops. Turn to the side for a second. Ahem!
Yeah, that wasn't so bad.
It seems fine.
Yeah. I'm with you, Keith. Just turn and cough.
Just turn and cough for a second.
Take it out. You know, we all know you're human. You still sound all right. So what? By the way, no one's paying attention anyway. I almost fell asleep. What is that, a lullaby?
That's they call that beautiful singing.
I mean, she sings fine, but it's like, what? That's a morning talk show?
Yeah, if she had given it a good hack, it would have woken everyone up.
Right.
You know? Well, it's like
clear your throat. That's an old teacher's trick I learned in poetry class.
There's that moment in The Simpsons where Homer is singing. They talk about the moment where Homer's voice changed and he's singing "O Holy Night," and it's right in the same moment where he says "O Night Divine," and right when he sings "O Night," his voice goes from like being an angelic, like "Oh, night," and then it goes to the Homer like "divine." So that's what Susan Boyle is.
So maybe it was a joke.
Well, maybe she's coming into her own, is what I'm saying.
Teen Mom, of course, kind of loves it.
I am trying to avoid it. Thank you.
And this woman, Amber Portwood, she's the big troublemaker, right? She's beat up the husband like twice in front of the kid. They took the kid away. Everybody relax. The kid is back with the mom. Everything's fine.
I don't know about this this story.
Assume that there's a reality show about teen mothers, okay. And one is horrible and beats up the and manipulates the kid and beats up the husband daily. Kid was taken away and she got it back.
Okay,
she got the kid back.
And
is this
and,
for the best or not for the best?
No,
it's not for the best. But from what I understand, it's very hard to get your kid taken away from you for good. Like you get a zillion chances. You can have your kid yoinked out just for maybe a neighbor calling on you. You know, like depending on what agent you get, I guess. This is all from TV and hearing about people's lives in my life, but. So they can take him out for a second until the investigation gets through, but you will most likely get your kid back until you fuck up again. Like, you just have to prove, like, oh, I did this and that and whatever. But this person is not a good... It's just not a good person. She's just not... It's not that she's not a good person. She's not a healthy person. She should not be a mom. She's just not
okay.
Well, she's
what? She's chugging vodka on TV. Mm-hmm. She's underage. She's a teenager. She's smacking her husband around, very
not smacking, punching, kicking him down while he's going down the steps, like wanting him to fall down the steps.
And then says, "I didn't do it. You got no proof. There's 7 cameras, a boom mic. They probably asked you to do it again. Like you did it.
They wanted to get a better angle this time.
It makes me think of the Jersey Shore people when they're like, oh, I can't believe him. I just, I'm cheating on my boyfriend. I'm like, there's 6 cameras. Nobody say nothing.
Everyone keep it quiet for my confessional.
Right. Well, let me mention this. Molly, you are a doll.
Oh, thank you.
And a treat. John, you are an angel.
And right back at you, Keith.
Thank you. Thank you. How can people go and see you in the Bronx teaching your class?
Well, it's an open class, so you can all be adjuncts.
People can just show up.
Yeah, the payment is 1 Four Loko. Molly.
You can just audit the class.
Blue raspberry, preferably. Blue raspberry or watermelon.
Find us on Facebook. We have a new fan page. Just go on Facebook and search John and Molly.
Yeah, be the fan of John and Molly on Facebook, or each of us, John Neffel, Molly Neffel.
Yeah, facebook.com/John Neffel or Molly Neffel, or twitter.com/John and Molly Neffel.
John and Molly is probably the easiest thing to find.
Yeah, John and Molly fan page. We do our radio show there. We have a new radio show
twice. Tell me about this. Tell me about this show.
Oh, we are taking you guys down.
That's all right.
We do a radio show twice a week that's a mixture of news,
interviews,
interviews, culture, music, comedy. It's twice a week. It's an hour long show.
It's Breakthrough Radio. And then when you go to Breakthrough Radio, the website, you can just find the DJ John and Molly page, or you can go to our Facebook fan page, John and Molly. And
what are you
find,
calling your podcast?
Radio Dispatch.
All right.
So it's called Radio Dispatch with John and Molly.
Yeah, and the easiest way to find it is just on Facebook and search "Be a Fan of John and Molly." And
so, then, what do you think of the podcast? You guys do an hour twice a week. How's that? Do you find it to be a lot of work? You find it to be
a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean it's exhausting, and we've been trying to have one or two interviews for every show that we tape separately, and then just kind of introduce, and then drop into the show. And it's been really, really fun, but it's exhausting trying to schedule and conduct interviews on the side and then record introductions and
thank you. That's all I wanted.
And get all of it
to
together.
You guys, man, you guys are
it's
incredible.
A hard time.
Oh no,
I'm able to do this 5 days a week. It's absolutely amazing. You can
I'm
do
officially
it.
Justified. We are now going to do Monday's show. Thank you.
Let me say this before we leave, Chemda. Happy birthday.
Oh, yes, of course. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chemda.
Me.
You're the best.
Oh.
You had a good time, right?
I
had such a good time. And I really, all I wanted was just to kind of mellow out. It was just me and Lauren. I was at her place. I got massages all day long. One time I fell asleep during the massage, woke up, I was still being massaged. Like, what the fuck? Food, great food. She made cookies. Okay, here's the thing. I invented this. This is amazing. You're not going to believe it. Two cookies, and then you put your own ice cream in the middle, and you make yourself your own ice cream sandwich. So it could be your favorite.
Me and John are like, you can buy that,
yeah.
Ladies.
Yeah. But you can buy your favorite kind of ice cream, which to me is vanilla Swiss almond.
Oh.
And then
I've never heard of this.
I'm about to make Molly squirt, so hold on. And then what I like is chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies, but you could never find the dark chocolate macadamia nut cookies. So she bought dark chocolate cookie dough, then shoved macadamia nut in it and made me cookies that day so I can have fresh cookies with my little... And then she made the ice cream thing for me.
Okay, now, John, I ask you.
Yeah.
How did I ever have a chance in this relationship?
I gotta say, you were fighting a real uphill battle.
It was so sweet.
I understand, and I'm so happy for you, Kendall.
Well, big thanks to John and Molly. Thank you, guys. Always a treat.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having us on the show, you guys.
On the show.
The show is brought to you by Mushface Comics. Captain Mushface. Excuse me. Captain Mushface. Follows the sci-fi comedy hit that blends social commentary with slapstick craziness. If you like aliens, explosions, and titties, grab a beverage. Nice try, guy. And watch Captain Mushface wrestle an animal. Go to captainmushface.blogspot.com.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah. And don't forget to pick up Keith's book at keithandthegirl.com/store. Thank you guys for coming by.
We'll see you Monday. Keithandthegirl.com.